Hello and welcome to yet another episode of the One Shot Podcast, the cricket podcast of the Sports Gazette, where we have so much stuff to talk about in the Cricket World Cup. Another very interesting week, very eventful week in the World Cup. And once again, we have Michael with us. Michael, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, Ayush. How are you?
Good. Can't complain with so much exciting stuff going on in the World Cup.
Oh, yeah. It's been a good week, hasn't it?
Great week. And we also have Will today with us for the first time. Will also from the Sports Gazette. And we are thrilled he could take a little bit of time out from his busy Rugby World Cup schedule to join us for the cricket. Will, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm very good. Thanks, Ayush. Excited to be here for my first episode. And even more excited to see how the England-South Africa doubleheader is going to go this weekend.
Yeah, that's interesting, right? Both of them playing each other in rugby as well as cricket, the two World Cups. And wouldn't it be funny if, or interesting rather, I shouldn't say funny, if England win the rugby match and South Africa win the cricket match? We'll see how that plays out. Will, where are your loyalties?
Yeah, I'm backing South Africa winning in both the cricket and the rugby. As a proud Welshman, I might have a bit of bias there, but no, they're going to be two very interesting and compelling matches, I'm sure.
Absolutely. And let's get right into it. So the last time when we were recording the podcast, was South Africa and the Netherlands were in a very interesting juncture in that match. And I'm sure all of you listening know what happened, because it was one of the biggest talking points of the week. The Netherlands once again beating South Africa in a World Cup. It happened last year at the T20 World Cup and now at the ODI World Cup. Michael, let me get your thoughts on that first. What do you make of that game and South Africa? I mean, what's with the unpredictability?
It was absolutely crazy, wasn't it? I mean, I said on the weekend, in my article, after Afghanistan beat England, there aren't going to be many upsets like that. But I mean, South Africa, Netherlands, it's just as big, I'd say. The form South Africa were in coming into the game, and Netherlands didn't look, you know, too good in the tournament so far. So yeah, it was crazy. It was great. It was great for the World Cup, I think.
Definitely. And speaking about that, you know, South Africa going into that match in form and expected to at least, you know, absolutely roll over Netherlands. Will, they hammer Sri Lanka in that first game, smashing 430 plus runs. Then they hammer Australia, five-time champs. And 4 days after that, they lose to the Netherlands. What do you make of where South Africa is? And what actually ails them in these situations when they look like they're such a good team? And is it the pressure that's getting to them? What do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, it seems as if the Netherlands are becoming a bit of a bogey team for South Africa at World Cups. Yeah, everyone was expecting a sort of a pretty easy victory for South Africa in that match. But, well, it's a shame actually Toby can't be here today, because he's a big Dutch cricket fan. And he had predicted a Dutch win in this World Cup. And, well, there we go. Yeah, I mean, it's great to see the sort of associate nations, which don't really get much of a chance, much exposure to play the, you know, your South Africa's, England's, New Zealand's, but showing on the big stage that they have got that ability to cause really quite a major upset on the biggest stage of all.
Definitely, and huge upset, but like Will mentioned, it's so important for these associate nations. And I guess we'll see more of these results and maybe get to a point where there won't be such big upsets if these associate nations get more chances to play the test playing nations and these top 10 teams apart from World Cups as well. Because right now you see, in those 4 year cycles, how often do they play teams like England, India, Australia for that matter? Not hardly. I mean, it's very less compared to what these top teams play bilateral cricket among each other. So yeah, it would be very important for the growth of the game as well to see these teams. Will this South Africa, do you feel South Africa should make any drastic changes to their setup, or just be like, okay, this was a one-off. Yeah, we lost to Netherlands, but we've beaten Australia. we beat in Sri Lanka, let's just go with the flow, no major changes. What do you think?
I think what we're seeing with this World Cup is that you don't need to win every match to get through to the semi-finals. The competition is more fierce than ever, where we're going to see these shocks. Afghanistan beating England, Netherlands beating South Africa. But I think as long as you are winning, you know, your 6-7 matches, there is a pretty good chance of getting into that top four in the end.
Especially at the moment with Pakistan looking like they're going to lose to Australia. I mean, that fourth spot has opened up massively in the table. I mean, it could be England, could be Pakistan, could be Australia, South Africa. You know, it's so open now. And yeah, it's definitely going to be an exciting end to the group stage for the rest of the month.
And Michael, do you think that, you know, guys like David Miller, Henrik Larsson need to step up a bit more? What are your thoughts on that? Because you saw the first time Quinton de Kock, Aidan Markram didn't really fire. They faltered eventually. And Miller's, we touched upon at the start as well in doing our predictions, I think. I believe it was me who said that Miller's going to be the most important player in this tournament, given his experience playing in these conditions, IPL as well. Do you think that they have a little bit to worry about when it comes to the batting? Or again, just a hiccup, move on?
No, I don't think you can blame David Miller, really. I think that's really harsh. I think he had no one to go with him. He had a solid innings. When he was in there with Jansen, I think they looked like they could maybe meet the run total. But yeah, I think we're seeing the kind of negatives of South Africa picking six batsmen, five bowlers sort of thing. Six batsmen, five bowlers. They need a few more all-rounders, I think, to go with that middle order. Players like David Miller. Because the bowlers just crumbled when they got in. I mean, Maharaj actually had a decent knock, 40 runs or 37 balls. But yeah, other than that, I think if they had those all-rounders in the team, they would have beat the Netherlands for sure.
Yeah, well, just to add to that, Michael, I mean, what this really showed is how important those early wickets are on Indian pitches. You're not going to win most matches when you're 44 for 4, 11 overs in to the match, right? I mean, I don't care who you are, you know, South Africa, India, England. Yeah, it is a very difficult task from there to set a competitive total that's really going to challenge even the likes of the Netherlands. And obviously, the Netherlands knocked the runs off pretty comfortably in the end.
I think what we've seen a lot in this tournament as well is kind of a good partnership, and then a wicket will fall, and then it will be another wicket, another wicket, another wicket. And it'll be a lot of the teams don't seem to be able to kind of re-establish partnerships. I mean, we saw with Bangladesh yesterday, they had a great opening partnership of Litton Das and Tanzid. But then as soon as one of them went out, they just kind of crumbled against India. I think that's one of my takeaways from the World Cup so far. I think having players that are solid and reliable maybe is the way to go in number three, number four in the order.
And as well, yeah, just to add to that, it shows the importance of all-rounders on Indian pitches, you know. Just looking at that match yesterday with New Zealand, Afghanistan, you got, you know, Latham and Phillips knocking, you know, 70 runs each in the middle part of that innings. And it just shows the importance of that middle order to really bump the score up if the top order is not performing.
Definitely some very good points there from both of you, especially with the all-rounders, like you mentioned, Will and you know, Michael, you also spoke about partnership batting. And yeah, it's that old kind of a cliche maybe in cricket, partnership batting, the anchor role, stuff like that. But we see, especially on these wickets, how important that is. And the big teams have been doing that well.
Even saw it today with Australia. I mean, David Warner and Mitchell Marsh started really well. But then as soon as they went out, Glenn Maxwell, Golden Duck, Steve Smith, rubbish innings. Stoinis didn't do much. I'm not sure if anyone else came in after that, but it was a good total that Australia put up, but it could have been so much more. And yeah, I think that's quite interesting.
Yeah, and the fact that they didn't eventually get to those, that 390, 400 plus score, has put Pakistan in contention to win this match. They would have gotten 400, could have, I think, might as well just finish the match then and there. So yes, that's another point.
Yeah.
We will keep an eye on the top four, the qualification. Like Michael mentioned, the South Africa loss has blown the table wide open once again. But two teams that have not been having those issues so far, India and New Zealand. We'll get to New Zealand first. Michael, again, so convincing. Missing Kane Williamson. That injury was the talk in the build-up to that, the match against Afghanistan the other day. And they were playing a tricky team in Afghanistan who were just coming on the back of a win against England. But New Zealand don't look like they're flustered by anything at all. What do you make of them?
Well, yeah, I think you're right. I don't think they looked convincing. I mean, they were 110 for four and they had to kind of rally with Phillips and Tom Latham. I mean, a really good knock, both of them. But yeah, I mean, I think they've obviously been the second best team in the tournament so far, won every game. And India, New Zealand on Sunday is going to be a really good one. In terms of Williamson, I don't think they're going to miss him too much. I mean, Rashim Ravindra has looked really good. Devon Conway looked really good as well. And even Will Young contributed with a half century as well against Afghanistan. And in the field, bowling, getting wickets, Afghanistan just crumbled, 139 all out. So yeah, really solid. Keep marching on.
Will, what do you think about the Williamson thing specifically? I mean, yes, these guys have been, the others have been performing very well, like Michael mentioned, Rachin Ravindra specifically, the youngsters coming in and impressed everyone. But what is your take on whether the Williamson factor will be a big thing going forward?
Oh, it's huge. You know, Kane Williamson, the stalwart really of Kiwi cricket in the past sort of few years, moving on to a decade. And yeah, I think it's a massive loss. You know, he just come back from that long layoff due to the ACL injury. Straight away, he's picked up this sort of freak thumb injury, and now who knows when he's going to be back. But of course, you're going to miss somebody who averages, you know, over 48 in ODIs. You know, that's not something to be taken lightly. And I think he's going to be a massive loss if he doesn't make it back.
Well, he will be back by the end of the group stage. Right. So he'll be there for the semi-final and the final, supposedly. And they're going to make it out of the group. So I think they'll be all right, you know.
It will be an interesting thing to see going forward, whether Williamson makes it back just in time so that he gets a little bit of game time before the semis as well. One thing is there, we'll hope that this injury, this freak injury, like Will put it rightly, doesn't rule him out of the tournament entirely. Because if New Zealand are going to go all the way and win the title, Kane Williamson, as captain, deserves to lift that trophy, especially after what happened in 2019 and the way he's led this team over the years. Well, their opponents on Sunday are going to be outright the best team of the tournament so far, India. Will, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, they've been pretty good so far, haven't they? Obviously, a standout performance yesterday with Virat. I mean, unbelievable century, right? He's looked in really quite formidable form so far this World Cup. I think a couple of 80s, half century, and now this unbeaten ton to back that up. And again, he just showed his strength in chasing. Some people call him the chase monster. And yeah, he really showed that again. I think that was his 27th century whilst chasing in ODIs. And that is just an incredible record, you know. And it takes a figure such as Kohli, who has been, you know, under the cosh a little bit over the last few years. But I think he's showing his class now. And this could be his sort of crowning moment in his career.
Michael, will the chase monster get that get that ODI hundreds record before the end of this World Cup. He's one behind Sachin Tendulkar. He's got 48. Sachin has 49. Two more, 50, and the record. Do you think is going to happen in this World Cup?
Well, it's an interesting one. I think, yeah, why not? Yeah, sure. I mean, that's been, you know, a big storyline surrounding Kohli in this tournament. And he's looked class so far, to be fair, you know. 280s and 100, I think. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I personally think he hasn't been India's best batsman. You know, I think Rohit Sharma's looked better and a bit more devastating when he starts off. So, yeah, not the standout India player for me, but, well, he definitely was yesterday, but yeah, he'll probably break Sachin's record.
Virat Kohli's form reminds me of someone who's not been performing very well, Michael Babarazam. We have to speak about him.
Do we have
As we're talking, he's again gotten out for a low score against Australia in a chase that they really need him to fire. They needed him to fire. It's not clicking. His captaincy also did not click in the previous match. But I'm guessing you're confident of a big Babarazam comeback.
Oh, I don't know. Forward. After every game, as every game goes on, I get more and more regretful of that prediction at the start of the tournament. I think people questioning his captaincy is crazy though, right? I mean, he's the king, he's Baba, you know. Yeah. If you talk to anyone from Pakistan, they say, yeah, Babarazam is the man. I wouldn't get rid of him as captain, but Pakistan have not been performing. To be fair, as we're recording this podcast, they're 203 for three, chasing Australia's 368. So we'll see where that goes. They're looking okay, but Baba went out too early. 18 runs, not good enough, for sure. Yeah.
King Kohli or King Baba, the debate will keep going on. But guys, there's another very interesting thing that happened in the India-Bangladesh game. I'd like to get your thoughts on that because more than, again, Kohli and more than the victory, more than Rohit, India, everything, this is something that people have been talking a lot about, is what umpire Richard Kettleborough did towards the end of the match where India needed two to win. The bowler bowled a wide and Kohli was a 97 and the umpire did not give it a wide. And again, the laws versus the spirit of the game debate cropped up. That's something that cricket will, you know, can never get rid of. And I think it's a good debate to have. Will, what do you make of what Kettleborough did?
It just reminds me of an incident in the CPL a few years ago, where Evan Lewis was on for one of the fastest centuries of all time, right? In the T20s. I think he was on for a 33 ball century. Yeah, remarkable hitting, but and this is where the question of sportsmanship comes into it. Kieran Pollard went on to bowl a no ball when they required one run to win, therefore stopping Evan Lewis from securing the century. So yeah, I was just thinking about that incident and I feel like you've got to stick to the rules here, right? The laws are there for a reason. What if this happens in a World Cup final where, you know, the scores are really tight and one run really matters? I'm not convinced by the decision.
Do you know what? I don't mind it. I think in the circumstances, I don't think the umpire's done anything too crazy here. You know, India were guaranteed the win at that stage. Yeah, they're playing at home. The Indian crowd... The World Cup is made for moments like this. And if Kohli didn't come away with a century, I mean, the six on the last ball is just, you know, cinema, you know. That's the stuff you want to see at a World Cup. And this World Cup hasn't had too much cinema, it's fair to say. Especially Kohli hasn't had much cinematic moments so far. So I don't think it's the end of the world. And I don't think an umpire would do that in the final, to be honest. The fact that they were running away with the win is definitely a factor, I think.
Yeah, it's again two different sides of the coin. We'd love to know where you guys stand on it as well, whoever's listening. It's that debate. We've not had the non-striker run out so far at this World Cup, or the mancade that, you know, we like to call it. But we've had this that has brought up this laws versus spirit debate again. Well, we'll see what happens with that. But India and New Zealand, big match coming up this weekend. Michael, do you think New Zealand will finally be able to stop the Indian juggernaut?
Well, it's going to be India's biggest test so far of the tournament. New Zealand have looked really solid so far. I think India will just carry on winning, to be honest. I think they look really good, and they don't look like the home pressure is a factor so far, you know. I'll go India win. Rohit Sharma, century, I think.
So that another century is coming from Rohit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That'll be fun. Will, what do you make of that game?
I think home crowd, India win. As simple as that. I think they've shown too much strength so far in their middle order. Their spinners really suit the pitches as well. Obviously, they're used to the home soil. But I think, they're going to have too much for New Zealand come Sunday without Williamson in the side.
Yeah, we'll talk about everything that happens in their game when we, you know, when we have our next episode early next week. We've not had an interesting, a close final over or last ball encounter so far at this World Cup. And wouldn't it be great if India-New Zealand is that match? We'll see. And that brings us to the big one, another big one over the weekend, England-South Africa. Bigger problems for England. Now, big problems for South Africa as well, which we did not see coming at the start of the week. We thought that they would go into this match 3 wins out of 3. They have a few problems as well, but given how the table is right now, England are the ones who are lagging behind in desperate need of a win. Let's talk about the selection first, Michael.
Yeah.
Ben Stokes expected to come back in. Who does he replace? Who would you like? And who else would you like to see in the team?
It's a really tough call. It's really tough. I think it's going to be an amazing game. I mean, I think there's so much to lose in this game. Whoever loses, I don't think qualifies for the semi-final. And I think both teams have some of the most exciting batters in the tournament, to be honest. And that's why I think it's going to be a great watch. Stokes coming in, it's really tough. Because Harry Brook is the obvious one to come out, but he played so well. He was the only player who played well, really, against Afghanistan. I think they keep both of them in. I think Chris Wokes has to come out. There's talk about that Ben Stokes he's not fit enough to bowl, but if they could get some overs out of him, that would be a massive bonus. But I think Chris Wokes comes out. And I think Moeen Ali should come in. I think we need the extra spinning depth. And maybe Liam Livingstone could come out if Moeen Ali comes in. Moeen Ali could replace the spin of Livingstone. And Livingstone hasn't really put too many runs on the board so far in the tournament. So maybe Stokes could come in for him at number 4, push Brook down the order a bit. So then, you know, you still have a good batter in Moeen Ali, but he also provides, you know, quality spin.
And Harry Brook, many believe, would be the obvious name to sit out once Ben Stokes came back in. But the way he played in the last match, the only player who looked good in that Afghanistan loss, now it's difficult to kind of...
Adil Rashid bowled well, you know.
No, in the batting.
Batting.
Will, what do you think? Ben Stokes, if he's fit, he's definitely going to come on in, right? That's not a debate at all. But who sits out, who would you like to see in the team?
Oh, I think Stokes coming back is just going to be a huge morale boost, right, for England. You know, he's the test captain. He showed such class and grit during that Ashes series. And I think he's going to slot straight back into this ODI setup and really give them that boost, which I think they require at the moment. Especially after, that defeat in the last match. I think the onus is on England more than South Africa. I think... if England lose, they will not be making it out of the group stages. I think South Africa have enough points on the board already. And, you know, them beating England as well would push them even further on in the table. So, yeah, I think the pressure's really big time on England at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, there was so much more expected of England going into the tournament than South Africa. I think most people had them as their as kind of nailed on to being the semi-finals, whereas South Africa were kind of fifth and sixth favourites, maybe. But yeah, so I think England definitely have more to lose. They have to win tomorrow for sure.
They do. It's with the margins of error so small, so little in this World Cup, and with England having lost two, maybe there's an outside chance if they lose tomorrow and then win all of their games, but they can't really bank on stuff like that, right? Because it will get even difficult going forward because they still have to play India as well. And the big England-Australia games, always a tasty clash. So, yeah, we'll see England's progress as well. That was what we have from the World Cup. But another major development this past week that we even touched upon a little bit on the previous episode, Michael, you were there, was cricket's inclusion in the Olympics. It has been made official now that cricket will be one of the five new sports that will be added for the Los Angeles 2028 games, and ideally, of course, going forward as well. Will, let me start with you. How do you see this entire development? It's huge. It's absolutely huge that cricket is part of the Olympics. It's big for the game. But do you think it's bigger for the Olympics than the sport itself?
Oh, yeah, without doubt. I mean, it's a massive development in the sport of cricket. It's obviously only been played once in the Olympics before. Great Britain are the reigning Olympic champions with that victory against France.
That's a surprise.
The 1900 Olympics. Funny little anecdote, actually. It was a Devon touring side that got pulled in to play that Olympics game. You know, fancy a match, yeah. They went back to Devon with an Olympic gold medal. But, I'm torn, personally. On a cricketing side, I'm not particularly sure that it's going to be, you know, that big of a development for the women's and men game. But, of course, the financial side of things is just huge. I saw the other day that the Olympic broadcast rights in India is reportedly going to go up tenfold from sort of 15 million to 150 million pounds for the LA 28 Olympic Games. And, you know, that is where the sort of the base of the decision is, I think, was especially with India, right, hoping for a 2036 Olympics bid. So I think the IOC had that in the corner of their minds too. But yeah, massive development.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely huge development. The LA Games are expected to be 6 to 8 teams right now is what they're saying. We'll, of course, get more details on that, on the format, the qualification scenarios, stuff like that. But we believe the USA will be one of the teams that will play virtue of being the hosts. But Michael, do you think that, of course, 6 to 8, it will be the first time that cricket will be played at the Olympics since 1900, that Will spoke about the Great Britain-France game. But don't you think 6 to 8 teams is just too less? I mean, it's the Olympics at the end of the day is what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think it's really exciting for the sport, but it has to be done right. I think it would be great to see some different nations teams in there, some lower, you know, some. I'd love to see Virat Kohli playing against, you know, some terrible
5 years from now.
I don't know what country, what's the worst country at cricket, but I'd love to see Virat Kohli, you know, line up against that. So it'd be great to have the biggest stars mixed with some younger players. And definitely some nations that we've never seen play before.
Definitely. I think both of you mentioned very crucial points there with the chance that the smaller teams will kind of get to play against these big nations that they don't get often or for some of them, just never. And Will, you also spoke about why it's such a big development, especially given that the broadcast rights value is going to be so massive. It is, you rightly mentioned, it's going to be tenfold for the LA 28 games. And just imagine with the India 2036 bid, and you know, if everything goes right for India, India might just get the 2036 games. Imagine what those rights, what those numbers, and what the buzz around the game could be playing the Olympics in India. So that'll be fun. Cricket, yes, in the Olympics, we'll see how that development further goes through and how successful or unsuccessful LA is. After that, Brisbane in 2032, we know that Australia is another cricketing nation. So they are definitely going to vouch for the inclusion of cricket in the 2032 games as well. And if India 2036 happens, there's absolutely zero doubt that cricket is going to be part of the Olympics then. So that's another thing that we'll keep our eye on. Again, a very big week for cricket, a very big weekend coming up. And we will join you guys on Tuesday. That's it from us today, given the time that we have. Thank you so much. Thank you, Will. How did you like being on the podcast first time?
Nah, I loved it, and looking forward to coming back again soon.
We'd love to have you again very soon. And Michael, again,
fun as always. I loved it. Looking forward to the next one.
Yeah, we'll have Will, Michael soon as well. In the meantime, all our episodes are on Spotify. You can even find them on the Sports Gazette, where you can find a lot of other content that we are doing across sports, not just cricket and the World Cup as well. Michael has done a weekly roundup of last week's action in the World Cup, and we're going to be having another weekly roundup coming up soon. Stay tuned to the Sports Gazette, stay tuned to the One Shot podcast on Spotify and on Sports Gazette as well. We'll join you guys again very soon. Until then, enjoy your cricket, enjoy your weekend, and take care.